Hey everybody, this is Lisa Thompson with the Supporting Wellness and Psychological Services Podcast. This is my first contribution to our private practice podcast, and I am here with special guest Katrina Williams to talk a little bit about the impact of nutrition on our overall wellness. She's going to share pieces of her personal journey and how she is building a business supporting clients in truly understanding information given in a medical appointment or gleaned through testing. Katrina helps people like you and me decode allergy tests, respond to mood, energy level, and fitness level with tools to support clients in having a healthy relationship with their body and with food. Katrina is a forever student in the world of holistic nutrition. Health issues 10 years ago started her on a path of inquiry on how to optimize her health, body, mind, and spirit. As someone who has struggled with food allergies and eating disorders, she prides herself in helping others find ways of eating that are healthy and rewarding. She has been plant-based for 7 years and enjoys finding new, healthy ways to cook old favorites. Using a holistic approach to health, she is a strong believer that health should be looked at from all angles. Are you getting enough sleep? How are your stress levels? What do you do to move your body and get exercise? Do you spend time in nature? I know in doing my work, doing therapy with individuals, families, and couples, basic self-care is the foundation for the really powerful work we do in session. A really important piece of this is our relationship to ourselves, our commitment to nurturing our overall wellness, and our relationship to our body and to what we put in our body. Hey, Katrina. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
So tell us a little bit about you. What's what attracted you to nutrition coaching?
You know, my whole life I've struggled with my relationship with food. I was a ballet dancer for 16 years from 4 till 18, and that was kind of the start of that. And really up until probably 6 months ago did I feel like I really had a grasp on it, you know, and I'm almost 36. So it was, you know, going through stressful times in my life where food allergies came up. Certain things happened in my life that made me take control of my issues regarding food, regarding stress, regarding everything. And I think through the knowledge of me trying to find out how to help myself, I realized that I wanted to help other people who were going through the same thing.
Yeah, so it was really important to you to be able to help other people.
I believe it's kind of, I don't know, calling sounds so silly, but you know, I've been through so much in my life, you know, including addiction, and the list could go on and on. But I believe that, you know, there's certain people who come through these things who have a responsibility to help others. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we were taught in AA that you keep what you have by giving back. And I think that's kind of rings true in all areas of my life, for sure.
That's huge. You mentioned some things happening that pushed you to kind of take charge of your life. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
When I was 27, I left my husband. And, you know, it was a very, it was not a fun relationship. It was not a fun marriage. And after I had left, you know, just speaking about it in regards to my health, my weight fluctuated. I was going through, starting to realize that I was, you know, probably allergic to certain foods, but I also realized what the effects of stress do to your body. Mm-hmm. I believe that those allergies were probably always there, but I think there's sometimes these catalysts that make things worse. And, you know, after I had left, you know, it was quite a emotional year afterwards of us dealing with divorce. And, you know, I had moved in with my parents, and my mom was kind of going through exactly the same thing with food allergies. And I started kind of experimenting with eliminating certain things. And that was kind of, I mean, I think from that point, it took probably 6-7 years to actually really get a hold of what I needed to eat, if we're talking about food specifically at that point. But it definitely made me realize that stress affects my body. Mm-hmm. What I'm putting into my body affects also how I deal with that stress.
Right.
So that was the start of some big changes.
So definitely a cycle, like a predisposition.
Yes.
With the allergies, but noticing how it was exacerbated by the stress.
Yes.
And then how you were able to better manage it.
Yes.
With your nutrition and yes. what you were putting into your body. So you mentioned weight fluctuation, eating disorder, addictions, just ups and downs in life, divorce. And now you're seeking professional certification. Why is that important to you?
Probably about 7 years ago, I was watching Oprah, which is funny because I don't ever watch Oprah. And she had a lady on there who was vegan. And again, funny enough, I was not somebody who ever wanted to be vegetarian. But the things that this woman was saying just kind of hit home with me. And she had written a book. I went out and grabbed the book that she had written. And she talked about some of the effects on eating meat, for example. At the time, I had a kidney infection. I was taking probiotics, or not probiotics, antibiotics. And my body does not react well to that. Anyways, she was explaining certain things about certain meat and certain things in our foods that can react the same way in our bodies as taking antibiotics do. And I started experimenting with being plant-based and eliminating the meat in my diet. And I wanted to do it correctly. I knew that there was a lot of people who, I don't want to say vegan because there's such a negative connotation around that, but being plant-based and eating, you know, Oreos are vegan, right? So I didn't want to eat crap like that. So I started taking certifications at that point just for my own knowledge. I also wanted to really understand, you know, what being celiac meant, what it was actually doing in my body, mostly because, you know, I'm a hairdresser as well. And when my clients are talking to me about these things, I wanted to sound smart. I wanted to know what I was talking about, right?
You wanted to be credible in what the information you were sharing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how I am with myself is that, you know, I make these decisions, but I want to educate myself for myself. And that's kind of how it started. And I took a course through eCornell on plant-based nutrition. It was just a 3-month thing, and it kind of sparked my interest in that. And from that point on, I knew I wanted to further educate myself, but I wasn't really sure where to turn. Some of the schooling around nutrition is kind of old school. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to discredit what they learn and what they teach, but it didn't work for me. So it took me a long time to try and figure out and to find a place where what they taught aligned with what I believed in.
What parts of it didn't work for you?
I don't believe in the Canadian Food Guide. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little backwards. I'm not saying everybody should be plant-based. I'm not here preaching, you know, the vegan word, but at the same time, you know, our meat and dairy industry is subsidized by the government. Mm-hmm. You know, so they are telling us to be eating a certain amount of these things, and I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm.
It needs to be more subjective to what people's bodies individually actually
very
need
individual. And I think you know, we've kind of forgotten about, you know, protein has become so, where do you get your protein? How much protein are you getting? But I think we're kind of forgetting about the other key aspects of nutrition, you know?
It's confusing. There's so much information out there. And then there are things that are conflicting and there are things that aren't. And we can all find anything that kind of aligns with what we want to believe,
absolutely.
Right?
The good and the bad things of the internet these days, right? You can always find something that supports what you want to believe in. And I think, you know, in the education in many areas, whether it be yoga or, you know, nutrition, things have come to me kind of organically. Sometimes I search for things and I find when I'm looking too hard, I don't find the answers. You know, so the school that I came across, you know, the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition, when I started looking into what they actually believe health is and that it's kind of an all-encompassing, you know, I say body, mind, and spirit a lot because I think that's really important that we are using every aspect of health in all ways. So I'm, you know, halfway through my certification through them, and I love how they go about educating, you know, their students. So yeah, I'm really excited to have found this school.
Yeah. So you had mentioned, a bit earlier about kind of eating disorders, and now you just mentioned that this has really been a journey for you, and you do some competitions and things. So you've learned to really manage your weight in a very healthy way, and are physically very active and at the gym. How do you do that?
First off, I wouldn't say bodybuilding competitions are healthy. I mean, it's interesting because when I had always wanted to compete once, it was kind of on a bucket list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did it once, my first competition about 2.5 years ago, and I won. And then, of course, I was hooked from that point on. Mm-hmm. I think if I wouldn't have done as well that first one, I'm not sure I would have done it again. But, you know, here you have a period of time where you have to be extremely strict to get your body fat in such a low percentage, which is not healthy, but it's part of the sport. And then afterwards, after the competition, I went crazy. I binged. After not having things for so long, I kind of went the opposite afterwards. And talking to a lot of competitors, a lot of female competitors, this is very common in this field. And I think it also kind of was another reason why I knew that nutrition coaching and even eventually, you know, competition coaching and prep would be something that I wanted to do, because I think it's really important to prep an athlete for their sport, but also to take care of their needs afterwards. There's mm-hmm. so many coaches out there who, you know, will get you lean for a stage and then they don't really care. They don't give a shit what happens to you afterwards.
So it's a snapshot in time, not really looking at the big picture.
Yes. Yes. And I think if my coach at that point would have asked the right questions about my mental state, I probably shouldn't have done that competition to begin with. Mm. And I think having my past of eating disorders, which, you know, honestly started at 16, my 16th birthday party, my girlfriends and I decided we were going to teach ourselves to throw up mm-hmm. after a meal. And between being bulimic and most of my 20s eating, you know, one meal a day to maintain the weight that I wanted. So all of a sudden my binging, which kind of happened after my first competition, I've been through every single type of eating disorder that there actually is. And I think I've gotten healthier over the years. I think the competitions have given me the freedom to eat more than once a day. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was important that if I wanted to build muscle that I needed to eat breakfast and I needed to eat lunch and I, mm-hmm. and to not feel guilty about eating more than one meal a day, which sounds so silly. Mm-hmm. And the importance of not feeling guilty when you fall off that track either, right? I mean, right. Eating disorders can be, there's so many facets to it, really.
Right.
But
so the combination of your personal experience and now your education and kind of the path that you've been on, you're able to connect with clients on a broader level mm-hmm. and to notice what their mental state is and mm-hmm. what's appropriate for them mm-hmm. and what's healthy, and to give a more all-encompassing mm-hmm. support. Mm-hmm. That's huge. So what's your understanding of what other professionals are doing in this area and what kind of sets you apart?
You know, the naturopath definition is a system of treatment of disease that avoids drugs and surgery and emphasizes the uses of natural agents and physical means. Naturopaths have become very popular in the last little while, and they are awesome for helping people deal with diseases. They're definitely into preventing diseases as well, but I think what has been happening, in my opinion, is people who get diagnosed with a disease from, you know, their family doctor or a specialist don't want to use the medications that doctors are prescribing. So they're going to a naturopath to try and find a healthier route to deal with those diseases. You know, when it comes to doctors, and I will say family doctors, their education on nutrition is very, very limited. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is true, but I've been told that about 2 weeks of their education to become a doctor is based on nutrition. So, I mean, 2 weeks is, mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things, is nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times we've all gone to doctors with some sort of ailment, and the first thing that they do is offer a prescription to something. So I think, you know, being a holistic nutritionalist, it's really important to be dealing with all aspects and to try. I mean, my biggest thing is I want to prevent people from getting to that point where they need to be taking medication or they need mm-hmm. to be dealing with a disease. Once the body has actually gotten to the point where you're seeing symptoms of something going wrong, mm-hmm. when you actually know what's happening, it's taken the body a long time to get to that point. Doesn't mean these things are not reversible, but it's, if people could understand how important it is to prevent some of these things, and that it is possible to prevent some of these things, including some of the things that come with aging. And that includes health, mental health as mm-hmm. well. You know, I think through my own journey, I've realized that food alone will not heal someone's ailments. And I feel like there's a lack of connection to the rest of the body in nutrition coaching. So I think that is one of the things that will set me apart from the services that are out there right now.
So setting you apart in that you look at things beyond just the nutrition piece.
Absolutely.
So who, you mentioned wanting to help prevent disease. Who is your ideal client and how will they know to come to you before they're noticing symptoms?
I think because I struggled so much with the allergies, the food allergies so long ago, that's kind of sparked my whole journey. I think I had to come and educate myself. You know, when you all of a sudden can't eat a food that you eat every day, mm-hmm. what the hell do you do, right? What do you eat? And it's the same with when I became plant-based. I was like, what the heck do I eat? So I think, you know, when somebody's not feeling well and they haven't been able to connect it to something yet, trying to figure out what it is.
So when they're not sure why they're having, yeah. they're experiencing something, but yeah. they can't figure it out. The doctor can't really tell them
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, somebody who's just taken an allergy test and doesn't know what to do with it. There's, mm-hmm. it's interesting how many things come up. My whole family, it's kind of sparked this whole thing with all of us taking all these tests. And thankfully we're all in it together, especially when it comes to family dinners. But, you know, I know it's difficult when all of a sudden you get these results and you feel like there's so many things you can't eat. Mm-hmm. And in reality, there's so many things left that you could still eat, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need guidance in that area, right?
I know I mentioned in the intro that you like to take old things and find new ways of kind of reinventing them and making them healthy and making them so that you can eat them. Mm-hmm. And it actually gets easier mm-hmm. as you start to do it.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of fun.
Once you learn the tricks, right? And there's some amazing people who are coming out with amazing cookbooks these days that for me have really helped, because I think, you know, when I made the switch to being gluten-free, cooking with eggs and dairy, things turned out pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't as fluffy, but all of a sudden you eliminate dairy and then all of a sudden it changes things again. And then I eliminated right. eggs. And once you're not cooking with all of these things, you need completely different recipes,
right?
Otherwise it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that I've figured out these tricks, it definitely has made, I don't feel like I always need to open up a cookbook or Pinterest, right?
Yeah.
To try and figure out what I'm going to eat for dinner. But it takes a while, right? And I think it's another one of those things. It's like if I can help somebody go through that process and it not take as long as it had to take me to kind of figure out some of these things, then
So helping somebody figure it out so that it's not guesswork and reinventing the wheel, so mm-hmm. to speak. Mm-hmm. So I think that comes kind of to the next thing we had planned on talking about, which also connects back to where you were talking about what sets you apart. But where do you see the hole in the market?
I've had a lot of friends, you know, and coworkers in the past couple of years come to me and say, I just figured out I had this allergy, or this is how I want to eat. Can you help me with this? Mm-hmm. And it was always very basic stuff. Nobody was asking for me to write out meal plans or any of that, but it was just basic. Where do I shop for these things? Where do I, what dressing do I put on a salad if I can't have this and this and this? And if I can't have dairy because I'm allergic to it, where am I going to get my calcium from? And all these types of things. And there's not a lot of people who are doing that, you know, and aside from nutrition coaching, which I believe is, I mean, it's tied in, but it's also different than just helping somebody trying to figure this stuff out. There just isn't anybody doing it.
Right. And so you might get an allergy test and go to the doctor and be told you're celiac, for example, and you've got to change your diet, but you don't really know where to go with that.
Yeah. Then what?
And so your goal is to kind of connect the dots for people.
Yes.
And help interpret the information and figure out how to navigate and kind of transition into a new way.
Yeah.
Of being.
I think the big thing too is when you start eliminating foods in your diet, there's an interesting thing that happens to the body, right? It's almost like it gets worse before it gets better.
Right.
And I think it freaks a lot of people out, and it makes people believe that maybe they're not allergic to it when things start getting worse before they get better. But that's how the body heals itself. And I think having somebody who understands what is exactly going on in the body as you're eliminating these foods in your diet, including, you know, a lot of times we crave foods that we probably shouldn't be having, right? And there's a reason for that. But having somebody explain that, you know, these symptoms that you're experiencing are normal, and this is what is happening in your body, and this is, and again, there isn't really, doctors are not going to do that for you,
right? Nor do they really tell you that it can get worse before it feels better. That's part of our informed consent in doing therapy, is we talk to clients about that this can feel harder before it feels easier. You're opening up old wounds and vulnerabilities and kind of exposing things in order to fix them.
Yeah.
So that's really aligned. That's really cool. With the blood work, so in doing blood work for allergy tests and things, what's being looked for?
You know, doctors, when they do blood work, are looking for something out of the norm. I mean, there's kind of like a high and a low when it comes to hormones, not even necessarily vitamins. I know for me, they always check my B12, but they're basically looking for results that could show if there's disease in the body. When I took my food allergy test, it was, you know, I took a vegetarian one, and it basically tested for every single vegetable, every single nut, every single seed, and it kind of gave you a chart of high or low reaction to it, basically. And, you know, naturopaths do a lot of testing, which is amazing. They do tests for leaky gut. They do hormonal tests, which is, you know, in our healthcare system in Alberta, I can't speak for anywhere else in Canada, but they don't test for hormones specifically, anything outside of estrogen or testosterone. Right. And it's crazy to think that as a woman, we have over 100 hormones in our body. So just to be testing one or two, how could you ever get a proper evaluation of your hormones when you're only testing such a small amount? So naturopaths are great for, they're a great resource to be getting some of those types of tests done, because I think that is, all of those tests are something that we can use in nutrition to improve those levels. Some of the normal ranges that the doctors are testing for specifically, you know, they're so vast that if someone is falling outside of that normal range, you're most likely already at a place where you have a disease.
Right.
Or something wrong with your body. It's, you know, it's also so personal. And I think that's the issue with our healthcare system, is we've tried to make a system that can find something if there's something wrong with somebody, but has nothing to do with individual levels.
Right.
So I hope that in the future that people start demanding more of that. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future with that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody was interested, per se, in coming to see you, but wanted to get these allergy tests done, mm-hmm. kind of outside of their doctor, where would they go in the local Calgary area? Because I know that's hard to find. I have a friend right now who's trying to sort all that out.
There's a pharmacy called Cambrian Pharmacy, where you can go there and purchase the kit. You bring it home, you prick your finger, kind of squeeze your blood into a tube, mm-hmm. And then you send it off. And it's actually a local company that is analyzing the results as well. And they're extremely fast. I think I got my result over a long weekend in 4 days. So they're amazing. I was able to, I knew how to read the results, but the pharmacy also will bring you in and explain what these things mean if you don't have somebody like me to kind of explain what these results mean. Mm-hmm. They're not cheap, right? They're definitely a couple hundred dollars, but I think if it's an awesome place to start. Yeah. Absolutely.
And preventative is cheaper than
yes.
paying for it all later.
Yes. Because, you know, if you have allergies to a couple of things, your digestive system is not working properly. And mm-hmm. most likely you're going to show an increase of an irritant to probably more things than what you're actually allergic to once it's gotten to the point that it's really, really bad.
Right.
Especially if you're the type of person who eats the same foods kind of every day. Mm-hmm. And don't have a wide range of what you eat. So the body kind of gets used to, I don't know, it gets used to eating the same thing and it sometimes can react adversely to that. So mm-hmm. yeah, Cambrian Pharmacy is an awesome resource for that blood work.
Yeah. It's all information, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
more information we have,
right,
the better we can.
And listening to our body, that those reactions are information, and how do we interpret it,
mm-hmm.
right? How do we pay attention to mm-hmm. it and get that awareness and then respond
mm-hmm.
in a way that's helpful? So you mentioned kind of that it feels that you believe the importance of spiritual and emotional health is lacking a bit in kind of the more medical side mm-hmm. of the field. And even with the naturopaths, who are wonderful, that's the piece that you want to bring in. So how do you connect this all to mental health?
You know, an example of how what you put in your body affects your mood. You know, if you are hungry, you know I get extremely hangry if I if I need to eat, that affects your mood, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you give a child sugar and immediately you can see a mood change in them, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget that the things that we put in our body is going to change our moods. For good or bad, right? You know, 90 to 95% of serotonin is produced in our digestive system.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the things I learned that blew my mind. And I was like, I don't really believe that. So I kind of had to do some more research just to figure out if that was actually true or not. But if our digestive system is not working optimally,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to be producing, you know, the hormones that we need that affect our mood.
Right. Or our ability to sleep.
Well, stress.
Cope.
You know, stress is another huge factor. And I think everybody can agree that they're at some point in their life they're stressed or that they're stressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stress is, it's kind of like the flight or flight response. You know, and they say you have a zebra who lives in the jungle. He sees a lion, mm-hmm. right? He's going to go into that flight or fight. Either he's going to fight the lion or he's mm-hmm. going to run.
Right.
You know, and the spike of cortisol and hormones and everything else in the body that help you do what you need to do in that moment, you know, your energy stops helping your digestive system and it goes straight into, do we need to fight this thing or do we need to take off and run? And it's the same with humans. If we are in this heightened sense of stress all the time, you know, the energy in our body that should be used to help us digest
mm-hmm.
Foods, and we're talking from what's happening in our stomach to our liver to our gallbladder to our intestines to our bowels. I mean, that's how we live. That's our whole system inside mm-hmm. the body, right? If energy's been taking away from that to help us deal with stress, then it's pretty obvious we're going to have some digestion issues.
Absolutely.
Right?
To think about the constant stress state that we just live in these days, trying mm-hmm. to be so productive all the mm-hmm. time and trying to, like,
really promoting this type A personality, we're always in a stress state. Yeah. And then we're either emotional eaters or we don't eat yeah. when we should be eating. Yeah. And then we binge eat or...
And even how we eat. I mean, it's... Our bodies need us to sit down in a peaceful environment mm-hmm. and focus on digesting our food. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're sitting at our desk eating while we're working, our energy is not spent properly digesting things. You know, right. there's a reason why family dinners are so important, not just for, you know, spending time with your loved ones, not being connected to something like a phone or the TV, but, you know, sitting there, same with having a prayer before a meal, right? Mm-hmm. Giving thanks to the food that you're about to put in your body. You know, energy wise, it's so important, you're right?
Kind of transitioning into that time.
I'm
going to
sit
place.
Down and I'm fueling my body, right? Right.
And seeing it that way as fueling your body mm-hmm. as opposed to...
No, my struggle with this too is that food is here to fuel you. At the same time, we still should enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I love cake.
Yep.
I love anything sweet. Is it good for me? No. Do I notice negative things in my body? Absolutely. Does it mean that I completely stay away from it? No. Because I believe that it's also good for your body to enjoy some of these things, right? It's balance.
Absolutely.
Which we could say for every aspect of our lives, right?
Which is the other piece that I love about the idea of the work that you do and with some of the clients that I have with body image issues, and that they beat themselves up so much mm-hmm. for having one slice of pizza mm-hmm. when it was a busy day, even though they had been so productive the rest of the day. And it was just, and it needed to be an easy night, but yeah. then they, instead of celebrating the day and all their successes, all their wins,
yeah.
they're beating themselves up for the next week,
yeah.
working out harder at the gym, yeah. depriving themselves. And what I like about it even more is you get that mm-hmm. and can actually genuinely mm-hmm. connect with them on that level.
I think, you know, intuitive eating is another big thing. Once you become connected to your body, you realize that there's sometimes you crave things for, and you can allow yourself to have that piece of pizza. Mm-hmm. I think the eating disorder part of it is afterwards in the binging aspect. Not thinking, okay, well, I've just eaten one piece. I'm going to eat the rest of the pizza because I've already messed up my diet.
Right.
Been there.
Yeah.
I've also been there where I've eaten one piece and then, yeah, I decided to do extra cardio the next morning. I think, you know, it's, again, balance.
Right.
You can still allow these things to be eating these things. The guilt that you feel afterwards is going to be more damaging to your system than mm-hmm. just saying, you know what? I ate a piece of pizza. I'm okay with that today. Am I going to stop at one piece and not finish the rest of the pizza and mm-hmm. feel guilty about it? But yeah, I think we need to enjoy things. And, you know, in regards to how I eat plant-based, you can enjoy the, and I said this before, all your old favorites healthier. Right? If you're yeah. not eating, you know, like there's the cauliflower crusts, you know, yeah. and non-dairy cheeses that are made from nuts, right? Is it a little bit more fatty and maybe a little bit more carbs than what you eat on a normal basis? But at the same time, who cares? You know, right. the ingredients are a little bit more whole, right?
Right.
And then there should be no guilt.
Right.
When you're eating that type of food.
There are also huge changes just in incorporating more vegetables into your diet that mm-hmm. you can notice as like initial baby steps in going that direction. There's mm-hmm. an author, I think, out of New York that wrote a book about, I think it's Live Dirty, Eat Clean, mm-hmm. Incorporating extra vegetables. So one vegetable at breakfast, two at lunch, three at dinner. Mm-hmm. But just taking baby steps mm-hmm. in that direction and seeing how you feel and kind of connecting with.
And your taste buds change.
Right.
I mean, when I was eating one meal a day, it was not healthy meals a day. Yeah. And I remember when I started changing some of my diet, I don't know, I've never been an overly picky eater, right? But when I look at how I eat now, if the 10-year-old or, you know, 10 years ago me would look at what I'm eating now, she probably would have laughed because mm-hmm. the things that I enjoy now, like Brussels sprouts, hated Brussels sprouts mm-hmm. my entire life. You know, your taste buds change. And when you're used to not eating extremely fatty and greasy and, you know, those right. types of foods, you start enjoying things being a little bit more whole. And, you know, I think eating vegetables and getting your fiber is probably more the most important thing that you incorporate in your diet, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe a close second to that is eliminating dairy, but people don't eat enough vegetables.
Yeah. And we don't even realize it.
No.
I don't think.
That's the biggest thing with people that I've worked with. They, when I send them their meal plans, they kind of like, you want me to eat that many vegetables? I'm like, yeah. And that's just a start,
yep.
right? The
Absolutely.
Thing is you can eat, I don't like labeling foods as good and bad and these things are free, like we're talking about Weight Watchers types
right.
of things, right? But in all honesty, if you're still hungry and you want to eat, eat vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, you can eat them till the cows come home and it's only going to do positive things for your body.
Right.
Now, if you're going to be eating handfuls and handfuls and handfuls of almonds all day, you might notice that, you know, that much fat intake is probably not a good thing for your body, right? But
right.
I like having foods that are good that really I can eat as much as I want.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of, and finding tricks to make vegetables taste good.
Right. So the learning how to prepare them,
mm-hmm.
which again, isn't that hard once you learn how to do it.
Right.
And it's huge to have somebody be able to mentor you through that
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
So you'd mentioned you encourage people to look at their health in three different areas. What are those and what do they include?
I mentioned at the beginning, body, mind, and spirit. And I think, you know, body being, you know, are you sleeping 7 to 8 hours a day? I think sleep alone is such a huge, you know, this is how our body heals.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of restores itself back to, I don't want to say normal, but, you know, to get us in a position where we can get up the next day and do everything all over again. And I think as teenagers, they sleep a ton, right? Mm-hmm. Babies sleep a ton. And as we get older and older, we sleep less and less and less and less and less. And I think it's so important to be getting at least 7 to 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, are you eating foods that enhance your health? You know, like I had mentioned earlier, not labeling things as good and bad. I think once you understand, and it's one of the things that I want to teach people how to continue to eat well. I don't want them to come to me, I print you out meal plans, you know, whatever our goals are.
Right.
And then when we stop working together, you have no idea how to continue this. My goal is to educate people on how to continue this on their own eventually.
So that whole concept of give a man a fish or teach him to fish.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say I don't want you to come back, because I think, you know, I have a coach and she helps me with my different goals when it comes to competing and stuff. And there's lots to be said for having somebody on your team,
yeah,
right? And
sure.
hold you accountable.
For sure.
But yeah, I think education is big. And, you know, are you moving your body in some form of exercise? You know, exercise and what that does to the body is not just, we're not just talking about having a lean build or building muscle. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do with that. Those are benefits that come from it. But the, you know, what moving your body and exercise actually does to your bones and to your
mm-hmm.
health is so important. You know, I'm luckily somebody who doesn't have to sit behind a desk all day
right.
long. I stand in one place all day long, right? But being physical it's, you know, it releases endorphins. It helps us digest things better. It, you know,
it helps regulate our emotion state.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, eating lots of greens, you know, spinach is a superfood for me. It's, there's so many good, put spinach in everything, put it in your breakfast, put it in your lunch, just get a lot of it. The next thing, you know, is mind. I think the biggest thing I've learned with myself is to be grateful. And, you know, we're so busy nitpicking ourselves, you know, sitting in traffic and being grumpy about it, getting to work and, you know, your boss comes in 5 minutes before you're supposed to be off work and then you are talking for 45 minutes. There's so many negative things, if you choose to look at them as being negative,
right.
you know, and that has a huge impact on the body. And, you know, being grateful, it's kind of like a magnet to more positive things coming into your life. And if you don't believe me, experiment with it.
I couldn't agree with you more. When I work with couples, I actually have them do gratitudes at the beginning of sessions and at the end of sessions, and it completely changes the dynamic. They came in kind of prepared to talk about and focus on problem situations. And next thing they know, they're listening to their partner express gratitude toward them for things that they, some little things that they did that they really appreciated. And it creates this huge sense of connection, and it's amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of like that book, Five Love Languages, right? I love it because you can use that on yourself as well. Because I think, you know, self-affirmations and all these things are great, and I'm a big believer of that. I have post-it notes all over the place. I have reminders set on my phone that have these things because I need constant reminders of them. But being grateful is huge, and even having... I remember at Thanksgiving, my family used to go around the table, and only at Thanksgiving. I wish we did this at family dinners all the time. And we used to go around and say what we were grateful for. And I remember being as a kid, it was always, it's kind of awkward. It's a hard thing to say what you're grateful for, which seems so crazy, especially as a child, right? I think as adults, we even more forget how to express what is, what you're grateful for. You know, focusing on your breath. It's interesting because, you know, babies breathe more naturally than we do as adults. You know, as adults, we start breathing kind of from the upper part of our lungs and not using our diaphragm and having a huge breath. And breath is how we are alive, right? I mean, yeah, our digestive system and what we eat is important, but if our breath was taken away from us, we are no longer. And I think, you know, through my yoga teacher trainings, and it's focusing on that aspect, even if it's just 2 minutes in the morning of taking long breaths in and deep breaths out, it focuses you and it's extremely important. You know, another thing with in the category of mind is continuing to learn and expanding your knowledge. They always say that reading is so good for you, right? And I think as adults, you get set in your ways and you're tired and you don't feel like learning anything else, or you don't feel like you have time. But I think it's incredibly important to keep your mind expanded and expanding.
And to continue to challenge your thinking.
You know, and living your passion. I think I know for myself, as much as I loved hairdressing, I knew that it wasn't something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And it took me a long time to figure out what I wanted to do. And in that process, it's hard, you know, but I think the great thing is nowadays people are changing careers all the time. You know, people are going back to school and deciding that they want to do something else. And I think that's amazing. I know my parents, I don't know if it was that big in that time to go back to school,
right?
To take a break and become a student again. Financially, it's difficult, but I think it's extremely important. If you don't like what you're doing and it doesn't want, you know, you're not getting out of bed every morning excited to go to work, then change it.
It's kind of back to what you said about this can feel worse before it feels easier, but there's so much value in the end, right? Taking that leap and being willing to open yourself up
to
that possibility. It's totally scary.
But, you know, I believe that anything that comes out of that fear is always a good thing. Even if it didn't work out. You know, and the next thing is spirit. I'm a huge believer in meditation. You know, when I got off drugs and alcohol, I went to, you know, Cocaine Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous for about 8.5 years. And after my divorce, I stopped going to meetings and found yoga, and it kind of gave me the ability to deal with my inner demons, not in the fact that I wanted to drink or use anymore, but how do I deal with me?
The things you were numbing yourself out to.
Absolutely. You know, we need to be doing something that disconnects us from life's responsibilities, whether that's being in nature or, like I said, sitting down and focusing on your breath for 2 minutes. I mean, I think it's, we kind of forget that there's a person and we walk around with our bodies forgetting to connect to who that person is inside. And it's extremely important. You know, I think when I realized that I was the reason for everything that happened in my life, whether it was positive or negative, and that I had the only way that I could change those things was for me to change them.
Right.
It's kind of a huge realization, but, so meditate or prayer. I mean, prayer does the same thing.
Right.
Or do something for somebody else.
Whatever it is that fits for you.
Yeah.
Whatever your spiritual connection is.
Some sort of spiritual connection, right? I think is extremely important. And for me, it was meditation. I was brought up in a very Christian home, and it wasn't something that resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I understand the importance of having, what do you want to call it, a higher power, a God, mm-hmm. something spiritual in your life, I think, is something that it connects you to something. You know, we were just talking about being in your body, right? At the same time, I think understanding that there's a bigger energy outside mm-hmm. that connects us all, right?
Absolutely.
But I also believe that, you know, doing things for other people, whether it's volunteering or opening a door for somebody or letting somebody in traffic, I always let people in traffic, and it's funny to watch people's reactions because I think people aren't used to it, mm-hmm. right? And I, instead of being in a rush, like coming here today, traffic was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Does that mean that I'm like on the road, you know, on somebody's ass in traffic,
raging?
Yeah. No, I still let people in because I believe that what if you're putting good out in the world, mm-hmm. right, that's going to come back to you. And I'm not putting good out in the world so that good comes back to me, right?
Right.
I'm not doing it for a selfish way, but it's one of those things of like being grateful.
Absolutely.
Right? Just kind of try it a couple times and see how your life around you changes.
Definitely. So you have some really strong themes and everything that we talked about. One that stood out to me a lot was empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Both you just mentioned that you realized that you had the ability to choose things in your life
mm-hmm.
and that the things that were happening were choices that mm-hmm. you were making. But it took sitting with that and becoming aware and accepting it
mm-hmm.
and being kind of still with it
mm-hmm.
in that meditation. You also talked about it earlier on in how you want to work with clients and the idea of empowering them, not that you want them to leave and not need you anymore,
mm-hmm.
but ideally you've given them information mm-hmm. and set them up in a way that they feel empowered to be able to do it for themselves and then maybe continue to have a relationship with you to mm-hmm. check back in and to build mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah.
Does that sound
absolutely
accurate?
Absolutely. I think understanding that empowerment doesn't come right away either.
Yeah.
I always say that the universe gives me signs and I don't listen to them. I need a baseball bat across the head to mm-hmm. actually understand that I need to change something in my life.
A lot of us do, right?
Yeah.
Something drastic needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's why they talk about what's your rock bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I look at every rock bottom thing which there's been a lot that has happened in my life, there's always something afterwards that it's catapulted me into something great and something better for myself. So I think I used to get really frustrated and say like, why do I need to get to this place where something so dramatic has to happen for me to realize it? Instead, I'm grateful for those moments. Because it made me who I am today. Right.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I am super grateful that you came in today. For me, this is a really important topic because in the work that I do, I think this is all so connected, and I don't specialize in nutrition, so I can't speak to that piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to have somebody that's able to pull in that mind, body, spirit piece and be able to address nutrition mm-hmm. with that credible background
mm-hmm.
and connect it to the mental health aspect.
Well, and same for me. I mean, I can say that I can help somebody with eating disorders, but if there's some certain trauma that has, for example, that has gone on in your life, I don't have the skills to help you with that.
Right.
You know, and I think it's if we don't get to the bottom of that or have somebody who is able to help you through some of that stuff, what I do nutritionally is going to have zero effect, right? So I think having somebody who really understands the mind beyond how I understand it,
right.
you know, and has the skills and tools to help somebody get through whatever it is. You know, we've all been mm-hmm. through stuff that we could probably talk to a psychologist about, right?
Yeah.
It's extremely important.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of benefit in that collaboration
yes.
and different
yeah.
perspectives, right?
Yeah.
Different perspectives
yeah.
and experience for sure. Is there anything we missed today that we didn't talk about that you'd hope to?
I don't think so. I think we
covered it.
Yeah, we covered it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.